All right, welcome back to That Girl Is Going Places. If you are brand new to my podcast, my name is Marin, and I am so excited to have you listening today. I am all about things surrounding health and wellness and taking care of yourself through the lens of self-love. And I'm so excited. Today I have Jordana on from The Daily Schwitz, and I have followed you for honestly so long. I think now a year. I know I found you in quarantine, and I've always just loved your content. And I think that you're really authentic in what you share. So introduce yourself. And another thing that I'm starting with guests right now is based on the name of the podcast, That Girl Is Going Places, like where you're going right now, something that you're manifesting for yourself.
Okay, awesome. First of all, thank you so much, Marin. You are the sweetest. I'm so happy to be here. So I'm Jordana from The Daily Schwitz. And something that I'm manifesting for myself right now is just feeling confident in this new phase of my life. And for those who don't know, I guess I just recently moved to New York City alone. And after like 8 months at home during quarantine, this is totally new for me. And I'm still figuring out, you know, a good balance. I'm just manifesting, finding my way, I guess. I'm feeling good in that.
I love how you have shared your move and everything too. I feel like you've been super open and vulnerable about how it can be challenging, but I'm glad that you're all settled in New York, and I'm so happy for you with this transition.
It's very exciting.
Yes. So obviously I love The Daily Schwitz and I know what it is, but for those who are listening, who don't know you, kind of explain what your platform is there. How'd you create it? Who your target audience would be, and also what you're trying to create within your community there.
Yeah, absolutely. So when I started The Daily Schwitz, I was interning at Equinox. It was my summer after my junior year of college. And basically, I was thrown into like this health and wellness atmosphere, obviously interning there. And I didn't have that much to do on a day-to-day basis at my internship. So I sort of just took it upon myself to like do all this research on different like wellness platforms, like Well and Good and Mind Body Green. Like I was reading all these articles. I was following all of these health and wellness influencers on social media. And I was sort of just getting sick of everything that I saw on Instagram because it didn't feel relatable to me at all. Because the summer prior to that summer, that's when I started getting into fitness and started like falling in love with working out, started healing my relationship with food, and everything that I was seeing on Instagram just felt so fake. It would be all of these people taking pictures at workout classes, but with like perfectly curled hair, glowing skin, mascara, matching workout sets, which of course I love a good matching workout set. But like it just didn't feel real to me because when I was leaving my workout classes, I looked like a schwitzy mess. Like I was red in the face, dripping like mascara, please. I would look like a raccoon, like curly hair. Flyaways all over the place. So that's when I realized that I wanted to create something that felt real to me, like in that sort of industry. But it also just sort of stemmed from my own journey. When I got back to school after losing weight the summer before, so many people just assumed that I had done some sort of like drastic diet. People were asking me like, oh, you know, did you just stop eating? Like, how did you do it? Tell me your secret, whatever. And I was like, no, actually, absolutely not. Like, that's not what I stand for. That's not how I did this. And I sort of just wanted to share. Oops, sorry.
All good.
My earphones never stay on. But anyway, I sort of just wanted to share that it's possible to be healthy and actually be healthy without dieting or restricting foods. Because I think a lot of time people mistake being healthy, being restrictive or being skinny, and like they're not synonymous. So I just wanted to be open about everything that I struggled with and everything that I did to lead me to this point, which obviously now has shifted so much. But that's really why it started, I guess.
I love that. I definitely get that entire vibe from your Instagram. I feel like it's so against seeing health as like one look or one workout or one diet. That's kind of what I'm going for too. And I think it's so important to be spreading that message. So I love that. And I could not say it enough. I'm obsessed with your Instagram, and everyone needs
the sweetest.
Truly, truly. I think it's so
hard.
I
really appreciate it.
like you were saying, it's so hard to find authenticity. And I feel like, especially in health and wellness, it can be so oversaturated with people who are just doing it for the money, or like the free workout sets, or just to like look cute being healthy. And you are not that at all. You do look cute being healthy, but it's definitely more about your authenticity. And I love that. So alongside of your social media platform, you also have a business teaching live and on-demand workout classes, and you've got certified and all of that. So how did you start that? And what are some things you've learned as you've started a business during a pandemic and teaching fitness, all of that?
Yeah, definitely. So it started, it's crazy, I never pictured this route for myself at all. Like maybe it was a dream in the back of my mind, because who wouldn't want to just like get paid to work out? It sounds like a dream to me. But it really started because during quarantine, my family was being very, very safe. Like I wasn't seeing anyone. And it got really lonely. And my friends from home were my biggest supporters when I started the Daily Schvitz. Like I literally had like 300 followers, and they were like treating me as if I was a famous influencer. Like they were the best. And when I launched my blog, they surprised me, or they had planned to surprise me with the Daily Schvitz shirts. And in order to give me the shirts, because it was quarantine, they asked if I would consider hosting an outdoor workout just so we could like all see each other, socially distance outside, and like do something fun. And they all showed up in the shirts that they had gotten me. It was the sweetest thing ever. And that was the first workout class I taught. And then it sort of just spiraled from there. Like I would start having them come over like twice a week, teaching workout classes to just my friends outside in my backyard, socially distanced, for literally something to do, like for something to look forward to see each other. Also, so many of us were so used to going like Orange Theory or whatever our classes were at school. And obviously nothing was open during like the start of the pandemic. So it was really a way to honestly release endorphins, like in every sense of the way, because it was so happy to see each other and feel that little bit of sense of normalcy, but also working out always makes everyone feel better. And then from there, I decided that I wanted to get certified and that I wanted to do this on a wider scale. And that's when I started my live classes via Zoom. And then from there is when I decided to launched subscriptions. So I started recording classes any chance that I got. And when I launched, I think I had around 15 videos, and now I have like around 45.
Wow. I love that name, by the way. That was like the most clever thing ever. Subscription. It's so, so, so cute.
Thank you. It's a bit of a tongue twister, which I realize now, like some people have problems saying it, but I like it. It's I feel like my brand.
Yeah, exactly. Like you have to stay authentic, and the Jews in the room like got it. So I feel like
1,000%. Great. It's so funny you say that, because so many people don't know what schvitzing means, and I have to like explain it. And I'm like, it's a Yiddish term for sweating. Like
I've like used that with my grandparents since I was a kid. Like that's always,
I'm always schvitzing. Like that's literally where it came from.
But exactly. I love that. I love it. I actually had like a similar thing. I don't teach classes right now just because my life is busy, but like the same thing happened with my Instagram. I created it during quarantine, and then my friends were like, can you do some sort of workout class? Like I can't go to group fitness right now. Like please do a Zoom just for us to like see each other. And then we can all sweat in our basements together. So I started that, and it was the same thing as you. I was like, this is actually fun. I have That's the time so to get amazing. Certified. Like I may as well. And expanded it to what it is. So
that's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, like quarantine was a whole different time, but I'm so glad that so many of us were able to start things like that and use our time to really.
I feel like people really took advantage. Obviously, it sucks to say there's a silver lining because it was such a horrible time, but I really think people used the opportunity of the blessing of time that they were given that they never would have had to do something great a lot of the times, which is like nice to know that was able to be an outcome for some people.
I completely agree. I know on your page a lot, and you mentioned this a little bit before, just with your own weight loss journey during college. I think you've mentioned how your relationship with food had a pretty drastic change throughout those college years. So take us through that story and I mean, even positively or negatively, how that lifestyle change in school affected your eating patterns and your relationship with food.
Yeah, totally. So honestly, it's like a roller coaster just because it has fluctuated and changed and, you know, flip-flopped so many times, but I'll take you all the way through. So basically, I never ever thought about food or my body or exercise or anything throughout my life until college, maybe towards the end of high school. But really, I was very lucky through the majority of high school. It was never even a thought on my mind. It was never a concern. I was a dancer all throughout high school and like middle school and everything. So exercise was never like a chore. It was always just part of my routine to be active. And then my senior year of high school, I quit dance because it was no longer making me happy. It wasn't serving me anymore. But my mom knew how important an active lifestyle was for everyone, honestly. Mm-hmm. And she wanted me to continue working out. That was like one of the terms, is because she didn't want me to just be coming home and not getting those same endorphins that I was used to for so long. So I started going to the gym. I had no idea what I was doing. I just did like 30 minutes on the elliptical and left because what else am I doing? I'm like 17 years old at this point. I don't know anything. I've been dancing my whole life. What is a dumbbell? Like, who knows? So then I got to school and there wasn't really like a set moment. And by school, I mean college, Syracuse. Mm-hmm. There wasn't a set moment where it was like, oh, I'm going to start binging. Like, it didn't happen that way. I don't think it really happens that way for anyone, but I went in so petrified of the freshman 15, just because it felt so instilled in like our society that that was a known thing that was going to happen. It almost felt like it was determined before I even got there. Like, oh, you're going to school, you're going to gain the freshman 15. Like, there's no doubt about it. It's absolutely going to happen. So I was so in fear of that, that I was trying so hard to get ahead of it by, and I wasn't intentionally trying to restrict, like I never counted calories or anything like that, but I would have like an oatmeal cup for breakfast. And then I would think I was being so healthy, having like a protein bar and a hummus cup for lunch. Mm-hmm. And then for dinner, I would order in takeout because our dining hall was disgusting. And I would get like teriyaki chicken and rice or like fried rice. I would just whatever was available on Grubhub. Like, I wasn't even really trying to be healthy when it came to dinner. I just like got whatever. And I would finish the whole thing and then I'd feel gross. And then I'd be like, okay, what can I do to make myself feel better? Oh, eat something else. Like, maybe let me order a lava cake from Domino's, or let me finish a whole bag of granola in my cabinet. Like, and it just really kept spiraling from there. Until all of a sudden I felt so trapped in this cycle where it was like, I couldn't eat at night without binging. Like, it was just expected in my routine. Like, it had become a habit that even if I didn't want to binge, like, I knew it was going to end up happening anyway. So I just would do it because that's what I was got used to. And then it just became this whole cycle of, you know, looking at certain foods as good and certain foods as bad. Certain foods became major binge triggers. So I would become afraid of foods like cereal and granola because I no longer felt like I had control to have just one bowl or just one handful. Like, if I was going to have a bowl of cereal, it was going to be six bowls of cereal. And then I was going to feel like the skin on my stomach was ripping apart. And like, it just was almost like self-sabotage. And keep in mind, this entire time, I was still going to the gym every single day. Like, I still thought I was so healthy. I didn't see it as an issue until I got past it. Mm-hmm. When I was in it, it didn't feel like I was unhealthy. It didn't feel like I was binging. It just felt like, oh, I'm eating because I'm a freshman in college and we're going to gain the freshman 15 anyway. So I may as well just like eat whatever I want. Mm-hmm. Drinking a lot during the week combined with drunk eats and then hungover eats, and like, it was all basically just a perfect storm for, you know, everyone has their path and this was mine. And it led me to where I am now, which was the summer after sophomore year. I had an internship in the city and I got a discount to Equinox, which that obviously then I ended up interning there the next year. But because I got a discount, I was going there and I fell in love with the group fitness classes there. And they were making me feel so strong that when I would get home, it was like, why would I want to feel so weak by giving in to those, and not even giving in, because it's not about control. And I think that's a common misconception, is people think the way you eat is about self-control. And I think that's almost a negative way to look at it, because control almost implies restriction in a way. So it wasn't about control, but I didn't want to treat my body poorly after making it feel so strong in those classes. And that's when I started to really understand, like, oh, this habit is making me feel really bad about myself, and this is not good for me, and I don't want to continue on this path. And that was the summer that things really started to change, and I started to look at food in a different light, more so as fuel rather than something I needed to label as good versus bad. And of course, it didn't end there. But that's really when it started. I would say right now in this moment is when I have the best relationship with food as possible. And that definitely stemmed from quarantine. So much time away from the outside world. I really think, I'm not going to say it's a perfect relationship, because I think I'll always somewhat struggle with deciding if it's healthier to eat healthy. And I'm putting air quotes around that, which you can't see on a podcast, but because obviously healthy is a completely subjective term, and there is no one food that's healthy and one food that isn't, which is like such a nuanced topic. I won't even get into it. But I'll always somewhat struggle with whether it's better to eat quote unquote healthy or feel healthy in my mind. And right now I definitely lean more towards feeling healthy in my mind, and I'm being much less conscious of what I put into my body. And I'm sort of giving myself that freedom, because I'm realizing that maintaining weight is such a silly thing to worry about.
Yeah.
Because your body is your home and it will always be there, but each day of your life is fleeting. And so if your weight fluctuates, like, it fluctuates because you're life is fluctuating. You're at different stages in your life. And right now I'm 22. I'm living in the city. I have a new boyfriend. I'm with my friends. Like, if I want to drink, I'm going to drink. If I want to order in food, I'm going to order in food. And I don't want to be so caught up in like, oh, is this the best thing for me or not? So I think quarantine was good for me in that sense, in that I'm focusing a lot more on living than maintaining an image.
Yeah.
And it's felt really good.
I love that. That was all like,
sorry, that was really long.
No, that was like really, I got chills like that. Truly. Like, I think a lot of people have similar journeys, even if they don't want to admit it to themselves. That was one thing you touched on, that you didn't even know it was something that was unhealthy for your mind and body until after the fact. I had like such a similar experience, and it was all during quarantine, where I was like, I am not like, I'm thinking about food all day. Like, do you realize you're doing this, Marin? Like, you're just thinking about food.
Over it. And
yeah,
I think that's such a crazy thing, because now I'm not gonna lie, I of course still think about food. I'll have breakfast,
but
like,
it's different.
What am I gonna have for lunch?
Exactly.
But it's not in that way of like, oh shit, what am I gonna have for lunch? It's like an excitement rather than a dread.
Exactly. I like distinctly remember it was like one Thursday in quarantine, and like I had definitely had an eating disorder that like was not aware to my mind at the time, but like I had been counting calories for years and like definitely struggled with some sort of orthorexia, like really obsessing. And I remember it was one day in quarantine, I was laying on my bed, and like the only thing I was thinking about was how I could trick my brain into not being hungry and like prolong my next meal one more hour, like just wait one more hour, just watch one more,
why do we
one
do that episode. To ourselves?
Yeah. And it was like, I was like, this is not good, is it? Like, it was until quarantine where I was only like with my thoughts. I was like, this is bad. Like, this is what they talk about when they say someone has a problem. Like, I have that problem. This needs to be looked at. This is not how everyone thinks about food. So again, like you were saying, like there's no silver lining, but it definitely, you know, was transformative for me to have that time with myself.
Absolutely.
And
even the way you say, like, this isn't how everyone thinks about food. Like, yes, of course, you're right. There are people who are so blessed and have always had that great relationship with food and have never even thought about it. Like, probably don't even know that this side of Instagram exists, you know, because you don't know about it unless you have a need for it. But one thing that has been so crazy for me that I've discovered through this Instagram is how many people struggle with
so
it.
So many.
Because when it's I first started talking about binging, I didn't know anyone that had the same issue that I was going through, because no one talks about it, because it's not like a lot of times when you see eating disorder culture in college, it's so restrictive, or you know, it's normalized to like not
it's
have
a good thing
going out,
yeah,
so that you get drunk faster, like, and like things like that.
Yeah,
and people sort of egg each other on, especially in like Greek life and things like that. And so I didn't think anyone was going through what I was going through. I felt so isolated in the issue. I didn't know who I could talk to about it. And then as soon as I opened up on Instagram about it, it was like, boom, so many people were going through the same thing.
It's
and
crazy.
Those people didn't know that other people went through it. I'm like,
it's crazy.
No one knew that they weren't alone.
It's
and
so fascinating.
The biggest thing for me is like, you're not alone.
And I mean, even now, like to this day, I know some of the people listening right now are these people that I'm talking about. Like some of my close friends who I've known for years were going through the same thing, and we had never talked to each other about it.
I just got chills this time.
I was like, they would text me and they'd be like, Marin, I just listened to your other podcast. Or like, Marin, I just saw your Instagram posts. Like, I wanted to tell you that I've had an eating disorder and been in treatment for 2 years. And I'm like, what? Like, this is
right,
insane.
Like, if we had a broken arm, we'd be like, hey, like, I just got
it. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
It.
Like, why is there such a stigma? I mean, it's so funny that you bring that up, because literally the same thing. And it was so mind blowing. I thought the first person I told, like when I knew I had a problem, was my mom. And I was so embarrassed to tell her. I literally like started crying before I even started talking. I was like, Mom, this is so embarrassing, but like, I really need to get like a dietitian to help me feel through my food issues. And like, I know this is not good. And she was like, why are you embarrassed?
Like
this
that's
is
such
like
a sign
any
of strength.
Illness.
It really is.
Yeah. I agree. And I felt like so brave now after the fact for actually being honest with myself. And I'm so proud of all the people who have told me, like, it's such an honor to,
it's a huge step and it's something to be proud of.
Yeah, exactly. And I hope, I mean, with your account, with my account, like all these small little steps, like we really need to like get rid of the stigma, because imagine how many people would understand that they have a problem and like actually
imagine how much happier people would be.
Yeah. Like people don't even know that they deserve help because it's not being talked about. It's like the only treatable eating disorder is anorexia right now. Like, oh, if you're super thin, you must have anorexia, and like, sure, you deserve to get treated.
And even people don't realize that you don't have to be a certain weight to have an issue. Like that's what really gets me is that there's a weight attached to a diagnosis. Like, that's not the way it works. And it's just
unhealthy doesn't have a look. Healthy doesn't have a look. Like there is no, I mean, I think even I've talked about this with some of my friends too. I think the way eating disorders are even talked about, like in school, when we learn about them, you learn someone who's really underweight has anorexia, and like someone who's really overweight has binge eating disorder, which is so, so insane to me. There are so many nuances to that. Everybody responds differently. And an eating disorder is defined by how your relationship with food is, and like how you see
1,000%.
Food, not the number on the scale or how your body appears to others. And it's like crazy that we're still in that mindset.
It's so wild. It's ingrained in our minds, but hopefully it will get better.
Yes.
Wow.
Well, I like literally have chills. that was insightful.
It's so important to talk about.
It's so important. Yeah. And I hope people listening like do their own self-reflection and like know that if you are struggling with anything like this, like it's not something to be embarrassed about. Clearly the two people on this podcast, like completely different walks of life, have the same issues. Like it's normal to talk about, and like actually reach out to someone, because you deserve to get your help and treatment. So
definitely.
Whew. That was,
I know,
it's
like
that was a lot.
Like,
yeah. Like we need to get that out
shoulders.
There. Yes. Yes. Totally. Speaking of college, I know we both kind of touched on this. Obviously I'm not in college yet, but I will be and have a lot of friends there. I think diet culture is unfortunately so prevalent and almost praised as an influence for college girls, especially. I know you mentioned the freshman 15 being something that like is expected and is feared, when like in reality you're going through like a huge life change, like your body can go through a change too. It's okay. So normal. How did you, yeah, exactly. It's like, it's expected in a good way because like you're changing, like it's fine. But how did you see diet culture affect your own personal habits, those of your friends around you in college life as a girl?
So it influenced me definitely each year in different ways. Mm. So I would say diet culture impacted me freshman and sophomore year in the way that I was almost trying so hard to go in the opposite direction. Like I was trying so hard to prove that I wasn't restrictive and like going out of my way to be like, I will not fall victim to diet culture, that I almost branded myself as like the girl who is always down to eat, or like, okay. Oh, like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. We would have like a function or something. I'd be like, oh yeah, like I'm double fisting the donuts over here. Mm. Like, look at me. I'm so fine with eating. Like I'm so, you know, not afraid of food that yeah. I can eat all the pizza and be fine with it, when secretly inside it was like so shameful. But I was really just putting up that front and trying to show people that it like that fear food didn't need to be feared, when really I was fearing it myself.
You were like projecting onto it to like a persona. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I like branded myself as the girl who was always down to eat, or like, oh, like a girl who could eat, basically, mm-hmm. quote unquote, is like how I projected myself. That was the image I put out there. And then junior and senior year, when I really had done a lot of work to heal my own relationship with food, a lot changed for me in that I sort of removed myself from the social circle that I was in because it felt very toxic to me. And this isn't to generalize that everyone in that circle was toxic. Like that's, it's not that they weren't good people. They mm-hmm. absolutely were. It was just what I needed in that stage of my life. I couldn't be surrounded by some of the things they were saying. I couldn't subject myself to their thoughts. Yeah. Because even if you saw the most beautiful girl that you thought, oh, she must live the most perfect life, like she must be so cool at school, have the hottest boyfriend, like be so confident, she's wearing that crop top, she looks great, like everyone struggles, and it's really easy to project those struggles onto other people, and you never realize, or people don't realize, that the things they say are being interpreted by other people, and like they'll put that onto themselves. And I think that's why it's really important to just not mind your own business, but like, let's say you're out for dinner with your friends at college and like someone's getting a big bowl of pasta and you're getting salad, or the other way around. Like you don't want to be comparing yourself to other people because you have no idea what mm-hmm. else they've eaten that day. You don't know like if this is a really big step for them, or you just never know what someone's going through, basically. So junior and senior year, I totally switched friend groups and removed myself. And there were situations where even in my own apartment, I would have to remove myself or ask someone to leave, because mm-hmm. I felt that the conversations they were having and the way they were speaking about food and exercise were really detrimental to me. And I didn't want to expose myself to it anymore. So it was like a difference between knowing myself and knowing what's harmful for me. And I think that really gave me a lot of strength, because it wasn't easy to leave the comfort of a friend group, like a big friend group, mm-hmm. the type where you're not even close with the people in it, yeah. but it just feels good socially to be
it's
a
like
part
security.
Of it.
Security, yeah.
Exactly, to like have your name attached to it, you know, be in the pictures, invited to the places, even if you're not actually close with them. And then senior year, I was really lucky to find friends who thought like me, or not necessarily thought like me, but valued the same things that I value and were so supportive. And still are, and open. And I think that's really important, to find your group of people, and not everyone does. And that's okay, because a lot of people think college is the be all end all of friendships, mm-hmm. and it's not. Mm-hmm. You have your whole life to make new friends. So if you don't find your people in college, that's okay. And I think people put a lot of pressure on themselves to be a part of that group.
Yeah.
And to feel like they're a part of something, when a lot of people struggle in college. And I think it's normal.
Yeah. I think that's like the perfect segue into my last topic, which is tips for someone who's struggling with their own relationship with food. I would totally agree that your environment has such a huge impact. It's not just something that you can let fly under the radar. Like, definitely pay attention to who's around you, how they make you feel. And I know even in my own life, I've had to like remove myself from conversations at a holiday dinner with my family. I'm like, nope, like I don't need you to be commenting on my food right now. Like, I'm just going to remove myself. Like, you can do that. It doesn't have to be about them. You can just remove yourself and you don't need to feel bad about it. And I think creating that environment is so important. And I'm so glad that you were able to do that. I think especially as like you were healing your relationship with food, it's essential to have your external reflect what you're working on internally as well. So absolutely, that's tip number one from the both of us. What else would you say for someone struggling with that relationship with food, body image, finding a workout, etc.?
Well, I have a few. The first is that curate your social media to what you want your life to be.
Snaps to that.
Because the amount of accounts, and I rarely go on my personal Instagram account anymore because I just have no need to. I've really made the Daily Schvitz like my personal account at this point. But when I do, I find that sometimes I'll be scrolling through my feed and I'm like, what the hell is this? And I'll see some random account that I'm like, why do I follow this person? That's A, making me feel like shit. B, is preaching something that I don't agree with, don't value, like whatever it is. I'm like, boom, unfollow. Done. Whatever. And then I go back to the Daily Schvitz and it's such a peaceful feed I've created for myself because it's so warm, it's so welcoming, it's so positive, and it's what you consume on social media and in everyday life is what's going to become your reality. So unfollow the toxic accounts and find people that make you feel good, find people you can relate to, even if it's someone who's going through a current struggle and doesn't have it like 1000% figured out. You don't need to only follow people who look like they have their shit together. Follow the people that are going through the same thing you're going through, and like, you can get through it together, which sounds silly. You might not know the person, but it might just feel a little bit comforting to know that you're not alone. So step one, besides change your environment, is curate your social media to a more welcoming feed. I think that's a huge step.
Mm-hmm.
Two, buy clothes that fit you. Like, don't buy the jeans that you're like hoping.
That is so good.
That like your goal jeans or whatever. Like, no.
Yeah.
Buy the jeans that make you comfortable, that you don't feel like you have to inhale to sit down.
I literally told myself.
Makes you feel confident. Yeah.
I told myself I was a size 23 for like probably 3 years, and I'm not. And it was just this last year where I bought my correct size of jeans, and I've never felt more confident. I'm not like squeezing in the entire time at a social event. Like, they're comfortable. I look great in them. I don't like look uncomfortable. That is such a big one. I love that you just said that. Oh my gosh.
Absolutely. Buy the new clothes. It might feel like an investment. It might feel like a failure, whatever it is. Just do it. You will feel so much more confident. You'll feel a million times better in clothes that fit you. You'll just feel better. And the third is the scariest, but eat your trigger foods, eat your fear foods. The only way to stop fearing them is to eat them and realize that you will survive. And at first it might feel impossible. It might feel like you're setting yourself up for failure, because I remember I mentioned previously that cereal was a huge trigger food for me. Like, I genuinely could not have a bowl without having five. And I felt like if I ate cereal, I was like, why am I tempting myself to binge? Like, why would I do that? I've worked so hard to stop binging. Why would I have cereal knowing that it's going to cause me to binge? But now, after I've done it, and it's okay if you have the three bowls. Like, it's a work in progress. You're not going to go from a bad relationship with food to a perfect relationship with food. It's not a one straight line. You're going to have those ups and downs. It's going to be a messy path, but that's just the way life works. Nothing is point A to point B. There's a million points in between. And now I can have a bowl of cereal for breakfast and not think twice about it. And if I want the second bowl, I'll have the second bowl, but I'm not having the second bowl because I can't stop after the first.
Yeah.
And that is such like a peaceful place for me to be, that I never thought was possible. But eating your fear foods, even though it's fearful, or even though you're fearful of it, it's the biggest tip I could recommend. And I'm not a dietitian, I'm not a therapist, but that's definitely what helped me the most.
I love that. I know, like, for me, stopping measuring peanut butter with an actual tablespoon.
Oh my God. How long was like PB2 for? Like, yeah, PB2
is disgusting. Okay. Like, let's just eat the real peanut butter.
Just
like,
acknowledge the fact that PB2 is not peanut butter.
Yeah. Like, let's stop trying to make PB2 in water. Like, let's not convince ourselves that's the real thing, because it's not
at
all.
And even when I thought that I was so much healthier, like, even when I thought I was in such a better place with food, I was like, that's a perfect example. I was still eating PB2. And now I go through like a jar of peanut butter a week.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm living life. I'd so yeah. much rather eat the delicious, drippy, gooey peanut butter.
Same,
like
same.
Powder and water.
Yeah, gross. I also now use like my old food scale that like nothing was not measured with that scale as the scale that I used to measure my cat's food. And that's the only
amazing.
It's the only purpose. Like, it stays in a drawer. We just bring it out for her breakfast and dinner, and that's it. I love that. I love, love, love that. You also mentioned the social media thing. My friend on the last episode said something so cool. She said, unfollow people, not only on social media, but also in real life. And I was like,
absolutely. Yes,
unfollow people in real life. Like, there is no attachment for you to need to stay in someone's life if they're not serving
you. Like, don't subject yourself to that.
Yeah.
It's not necessary. You have your whole life to meet new people. And I guarantee you, if they are not serving you, you're probably not serving them either. So
yeah, like if they're upset about it, like, they can talk to you about it. Like, you can tell them, like, this is not working for me. If they're actually someone who cares, like, they will change their behavior.
Yep.
But like,
and if they
chances
don't,
are they don't want
to.
Yeah. Like, they're not going to take the time to try to fix this friendship. So like, it's just, it's not worth your time. I love all of that. I hope people like took notes. That was very helpful. And I have had experience with all of those tips and would agree that they're super influential in really finding, again, not that perfect relationship with food. It's probably never going to come. Everyone, I'm sure you could agree, you still have bad body image days. So do I. Bad food relationship days. It's natural. But getting to that place where that like 80-20 rule is like, most of the time you're feeling pretty good about what's going on.
Totally.
So, Jordana, plug. Am I saying it right too? I know you have like a New York accent, but okay.
No, you're totally saying it right. Don't worry.
Great. Great. So plug the Daily Schvitz, because you were mentioning follow people who make you happy. Jordana is one of them. I'm telling you, right after you listen to this podcast, grab your phone and go on Instagram and follow her, because her content is legit and it will brighten your feed every single day. Do your whole plug, your classes, everything.
Okay. Well, I mean, if you insist. Well, thank you so much, Marin. You're actually the best. I feel bad. I hope that my AirPods are
you're good.
Enough. But yeah, follow me at the Daily Schvitz on Instagram. And if you're interested in trying my workout classes, you'll can find the link in my bio. It's called Schvitzcription. There's a 7-day free trial. And after that, it's $10 a month. There's like 45 videos ranging between 5 minutes to an hour for all different parts of your body. I have low impact, cardio, strength, and my whole goal for Schvitzcription is, if you don't want to do it and you don't like it, don't do it. I want everyone to do a workout that works for them and makes them feel good. And if Schvitzcription can be that for you, then nothing would make me happier. So I hope that you try, and I won't be offended if it's not for you, but I hope that it is.
I took one of her classes over the summer and they're really fun, you guys. So I highly recommend, Well, thank you so much again. I love you. I'm so glad. I'm
so
grateful.
Oh my God, I'm so happy that
I was able to have you. And I'm so lucky that we got to talk today. I hope everyone listened, loved it as much as I did.
Thank you.
With that, I will conclude today's episode. Thank you so, so much for listening, as always. If you did enjoy listening today, please leave a rating or subscribe to That Girl's Going Places wherever you listen to podcasts. It would really support me. And feel free to reach out at That Girl's Going Places podcast on Instagram with any questions that you have for a future Q&A segment, or with any topic requests for future episodes. I love you all so much. I will talk to you again in the next episode, and I really hope that you have an amazing day.